This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
Disgruntled NC State fans calling in hour number one. I get it. I totally understand. Get ready for the next wave, though. Louisville this week. All right, Wes, we're going to have some fun with some mid-year stuff here.
All right. Now, we went about this a little different than the All-ACC is going to end up at the end of the year, because that is a positionless 5-5-5 for the three teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have three-point guards, two wings, whatever the case may be. We actually, Packer and I, tried to do it by position, right?
Which makes it more difficult.
It does make it more difficult. It makes it more challenging on a lot of effects.
But I didn't think it was that hard.
As a result, we agreed on four of them.
Which I didn't know until 2 minutes ago.
Right. So, but let's go with a short list of guys who are just off the edge here.
All right.
Okay. Is that where we want to start? Because
sure.
This
is the appetizer before the
Yeah, I mean, look, and there's a list now. We're going to show you three, but there are plenty of other guys.
Sure.
Okay. And again, we did this by position as much as possible. Point, two, small, power, big. Okay? Unlike the All-ACC, which will be just five players.
We have our own rules here.
Yeah, well, Packer and Durham rules. Let's start with the guys that just missed. And a guy who's on a tear we talked about earlier, and that's Garrison Brooks
played,
at Carolina.
And played great again last night.
Right. So Garrison Brooks, 16 points, 9 rebounds, another double-double last night. I shudder to think of all the struggles Carolina has had, where they would be if it weren't for him. He's much improved. Really, really much improved. I think one of the keys you talk about their stretch being nasty in the second half, how well is he going
to
play, right?
Well, he's got to play well. I mean, with or without Cole Anthony.
Yep.
Garrison Brooks, if he doesn't put up numbers, then it puts so much pressure on everybody else.
And yeah.
As beat up as Robinson is right now, as we pointed out in hour number one.
Yep.
But we'll worry about all that stuff down the road.
Landers Nolly?
He's gotten off to a great start, and I really thought about putting him on my number one list, but he really, truly is right on the cusp.
Yep. I think Nolly's a guy who can go get 20 and change. You got to be careful now. He's a powder keg. And the other thing, too, is Pack, he's had a game where you're like going, what happened there? Like the Carolina game the other night.
Well, here's the other thing I like about him. He does not mind the big shot.
Yeah.
No, he will take shots. And he can light you up if you're not careful. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one.
I'm going to tell you, this guy here might be the most improved player in the league. Just in terms of his overall presence, scoring, rebounding, his field goal percentage is really good, well over 50%. I like what I've seen in the development of Olivier Sarr. And I know the Deeks haven't had a great year, but this guy right here has played very well. And I'm interested to see kind of what the second half holds for him, too.
There's one guy that I really fought.
Would be on this list.
Put him on, take him off, put him on. And he's had a terrific year. And that's Elijah Hughes.
Absolutely.
And I almost hate that he's not on there because he's really been good, man. He's giving you the numbers. Again, Syracuse is an interesting team because they have interesting pieces. But Elijah Hughes, to me, is a guy literally – 1 foot in the door. Forget doorstep. Elijah Hughes.
I'm going to tell you now, he's going to be first team All ACC.
That would not surprise me.
He's going to end up being. He is going to be first team All ACC.
I'll give you another guy that did not make my list.
All right.
That's really played well and has really stepped up here lately. And it's ironically, we're going to give you a Syracuse and a Clemson guy because they're going to go after each other tonight.
Amir Sims
has been really good.
He's going to have a chance too. Second half's going to be fun to watch in terms of this.
Well, that game tonight in Little John is a critical one for all parties involved, and those two dudes will be front and center. There's no question.
All right. We agreed, surprisingly,
I'm surprised
on four guys. We agreed on four? I didn't think there was a chance that was happening.
Me neither. I would have taken that bet and lost.
Okay.
There's one, though, on here that I think is my – to me, it is the weakest link, and this is where I had the debate with Elijah Hughes.
Okay.
All right.
But ready?
We'll get to that. Yeah, go for it.
Devin Vassell starts. We had no problem. I didn't have an issue at all here.
No, we liked him on our show, and we like even better on the floor.
Now, I got to tell you, if they're on the show, they also get a little bump. But this guy here.
On both ends of the floor, as you pointed out, he can score. He defends smart, knows how to play, understands the system. experienced. I mean, what's there not to like about Devin Vassell?
And shooting almost 50% from the floor.
Yeah.
All right, so Devin Vassell would be number one. Young man from just outside of Atlanta is having a terrific, terrific year. Preseason player of the year in the ACC. Most nights has delivered preseason player of the year numbers, Pac.
He has, but, and I know we're at the halfway point here, sort of. There have been some nights where he has disappeared, and that bothers me when you start talking about player of the year. But as I mentioned, we still got six great weeks ahead of us,
yep.
And this guy's going to be front and center for the Cards as they try to win the ACC regular season.
So Jordan Wara, you see the scoring, 19 a game, 7 rebounds, and the Cards having a great campaign. This guy here.
Automatic.
Just write it down. Plays anywhere to the three-point line down. He is incredibly efficient, and his sense of positioning on the floor might be the best in college basketball, in all honesty. I'm just a huge John Mooney fan. I don't know what he is at the next level, but I know what he is at the college game, and he's a very good basketball player.
Well, I put him on this list despite the fact that Notre Dame football is not a conference member, but John Mooney, with those numbers, should automatically be in the conversation, and I expect nothing but the same the rest of the way. That's just what that guy does regardless.
All right, now here's the one we struggled with, you
this
and
is
I
the
both.
One I really struggle with Trey Jones. And
yeah.
He's a really good player. Obviously, he understands what's going on at Duke, and with the experience now, the defense is out of sight. And again, to me, this was kind of an Elijah Hughes, Trey Jones, flip a coin kind of thing, but I ended up going with Trey Jones at the end. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think you can make a case for a couple dudes in this spot, but this is the way I ended up leaning.
All right. Now, that means we got four right.
Amongst ourselves.
Amongst ourselves. We had the same four.
You and I disagreed on one spot.
Yeah.
Why don't you lead?
Well, after seeing him Saturday.
Was that the influence here, that you saw him in person?
Well, I saw him in person, and I saw how he handles the game offensively, which I knew he could do, but then defensively he was better than I thought he was doing what they do, and that's Buddy Boeheim of Syracuse. Look, yes, he had 18 in the first half, but make no mistake, their run here of five in a row has been sparked by what he's doing, okay? I mean, he's shooting it well. He's shooting 42% from three, and they're guarding him, by the way. It's not – I mean, he gets a couple catch and shoots – but make no mistake, this is a pretty good basketball player. I mean, it was a nice story a year ago, Pac. Oh, it's Jim's son, da-da-da. Think about where he's gone from a scoring perspective. It's been interesting.
All right. I like Buddy Boeheim. Plus, he was great on our show. I'm going a little opposite of you here.
Man, I really want to put
this
guy on here.
I don't know how he cannot be on the list.
He's going to be on first team, too.
I mean, look at the numbers, Wes. We're talking about 17-8 there. And yep. He's a go-to dude. He's a force inside. He's a problem for everybody in the league. When he touches it inside, he normally closes the deal.
Yep.
I just think that this guy has got to be one of the five. I mean, no disrespect to Buddy Boeheim.
No, I'm with
Vernon
you on this.
Carey Jr., to me, is on the list.
I think this is going to be a very interesting list when it comes out around the tournament. Maybe we'll get to do it on the show, too. Like we did the All-ACC football team. What do you think?
Well, I mean, just look at these numbers. I
yep.
mean, I'm no disrespect, again, to Buddy Boeheim, but if you and I are going to go out and play a little pickup game and these two guys are leaning up against the wall and I get first choice, I'm going to go with the guy in the dark blue.
Here's the thing I'll ask you this. If you go positionless for All-ACC,
yeah.
And we've already talked about how big Elijah Hughes has been, impactful, everything else. The analytics, by the way, on Elijah Hughes, which I know you're a fan of, are off the chart.
I'm an Elijah Hughes fan.
I know. And they're off the chart when it comes to the analytics. But, okay. So you say Vassell, Wara, Carey, Hughes, Jones, Boeheim, Brooks. What are we doing? It's going to be impossible to gather the five. And here's the thing. Because
it's not a basketball to be played.
I know that. But if you had to do it today,
we just did it.
The glob would be very impactful. Well, we tried to do it by position, too.
Yeah, but we just did it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy. I don't. I don't think it's that crazy. But, hey, it's got to play itself out.
All right.
Got to play itself out. But I do like Vernon Carey Jr. over Buddy Boeheim in our little debate there. We could put that out there for callers to have some fun with.
Yeah. 844-SAY-ACCN.
Now, we've not had.
I noticed that you didn't have anybody from NC State on here because you're a little concerned about that. Is that right?
There's no NC State players made the list. Sorry. It's just a mid-year thing, so don't worry about the, you know.
You still make your way on it, right?
You need to cross the finish line. You're not worried about the halfway point. Just saying. You know, I do think it's interesting, though, before we get out of here. You know, Florida State, and I know Leonard Hamilton's had fun with the media in years past when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's like, hey, you know, we do play basketball down here in the Panhandle.
Ooh.
You know, I was just looking at some stuff today.
At 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's what we do. The individual stats, Florida State is a fascinating read because of the numbers. They just beat you in waves of players, right? Mm-hmm. Said Wilkes on yesterday, you know, he lights up Notre Dame over the weekend and averaging 3 points a game, goes for 19. It's like every night there's somebody at Florida State that just plays, right? But when you look at ACC individual stats, Devin Vassell is 22nd in the league in scoring. He's also the top Florida State player in rebounding at 29th in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Assist, Trent Forrest, great. He's 8th in the league. Same thing with steals. He's 5th in the league. But you also have Polite and Vassell in the top 10. Blocks, Williams at 9th. The point I'm trying to make is when you look at individual stats and look for Florida State, who's been so good, it's amazing how far down the list you'll go until you get to a Florida State player. It emphasizes, number one, what a great job Leonard's done, and number two, that they play great team basketball, and they've got numbers.
The defensive side of the ball, too,
really
will be reflected once you get to the postseason. Because
and that's why that game tonight, Florida State and Virginia, you said first to 50. Let's see if they get to 50. That game's got the potential that neither one gets to 50.
Well, Virginia will have to hit shots tonight.
No question. So where's that coming from?
That's going to be an every night thing for the Cavaliers. We haven't seen many shots get hit.
That's a really big game. Yeah. It's as I said in the last hour, it's as big a game for Virginia tonight as it was for NC State last night.
By the way, we're going to come back and go over what is a big Tuesday night. There are four league games, 5 on the schedule. We'll cover all those for you, including FSU at Virginia and Syracuse at Clemson. We'll get to all that more. Remind you, of course.
Morehouse College, we doing that one?
Maroon Tigers coming over to visit Georgia Tech tonight.
Get their check. Take their beating.
Hope.
Hey, Georgia Tech's playing well.
I know. Maroon Tigers are 9-9, I think.
I'll bring that on.
Friday night, 9 o'clock, right here on ACC Network. Hope you've had a chance to enjoy the first two installments of Bald Men on Campus. This is right after Friday Night Duels, Pac.
Love the duels.
I know.
I told you I've jumped on the bandwagon.
A look ahead to the weekend slate of games, and Saturday will be a good schedule for Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg to break down right here on ACC Network. I usually have Coach Greenberg later in the week. Look forward to that, hopefully. All right. When we come back, examine a big Tuesday night. How bad does Virginia need a win? We'll pose that question to you at 844-SAY-ACCN when Packer and Durham continues right after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Shout out John Bentley, Tallahassee, Florida. Already had it with us. No Trent Forrest, must just be going by numbers. He might be the most important player on any team in the league. Leadership. No argument there, John. I'm right there with you, man.
He in the conversation for sure.
I mean, we could have gone a ton of different ways on the list. We just throw stuff out there to keep you thinking.
Well, we didn't. You know, Devin Vassell was on our list.
Devin Vassell's on the list. Absolutely.
And I mentioned Florida, and that's why I went through the individual stats with Florida State.
Right.
And to me, it's a testament of what a great team basketball concept that they're playing with. Because when you look at the numbers, nothing's really popping. Again, no knock on Vassell because we've got him in our list on first team. But, again, there's still a lot of basketball to be played.
A lot of basketball.
Important, but the most important basketball to be played.
Tony Haynes will join us bottom of the hour, longtime member of the Wolfpack Network, and look forward to visiting with him.
What do you think he's going to say?
I don't know.
Huh?
NC State can't have nice things?
Well, I mean, you know, you can. And, hey, anybody can have nice things, but you've got to close the deal.
I think that's the one thing. the window that NC State gave itself, they just gave it back.
Gave it right. They shut it.
They're not the only one in the league to do it, but the fact that they just gave themselves that advantage and then pushed it back, that's frustrating.
And Virginia Tech did too.
And Louisville Saturday.
Right.
So, all right, Virginia, you're on record now.
It's a big game.
Cavaliers, big game.
For Virginia.
Is this Virginia's biggest game?
Yes. Yes. You know why? Because right now they're in the middle of the glob. And now you get a chance to play someone of an opportunity. This is not beating Wake Forest. This is not beating, fill in the blank of a glob team.
Sure.
You've got one of the quote-unquote ACC elite coming to town, and you just played them tooth and nail in Tallahassee, a game that you could have won but didn't. But now they come to your house, and this should be a great defensive game. Now, if you're looking for a, hey, can we get this game in the 80s? Not happening. This is such an important game for Virginia to win at home. And for your Florida State,
this is real bridge tonight for Florida State.
Florida State tonight makes another statement if they win this game on the road, right? And this is a big week for Florida State, period. At Virginia Tech. They stay in the Commonwealth. They have a chance to make a statement to the rest of the league.
But I've seen Florida State teams go to Charlottesville doing this. And finished doing that.
Well, it's because Virginia's been great. I mean, hey, when you don't go 66-6
right
over a span of a period of time and, just start wearing people out, especially at home. Holding serve at home. I cannot emphasize that enough.
All right. Virginia tonight, Florida State. Actually, they get a week off Clemson. Virginia goes on bye after tonight.
That's why it's even more important.
Okay. Then they get Clemson at home. At Louisville, Notre Dame at home, at Carolina, to return the match from a game from earlier in the year where they beat Carolina by 9 back on December the 8th. So you're saying tonight could be the start of the...
It has to be the start. If you're Virginia and you want to get in the NCAA tournament, tonight has to be the start. You only get so many chances against teams with a number beside their name in this league. And when you have them at home and you've already played them and could have won the game on the road but didn't, critical, beyond critical for Virginia tonight. Yeah. More so than it is for Florida State, in my opinion. That's why I thought last night was more important for NC State than North Carolina. They had a chance to get in the upper glob to put them in a position, hey, are we going to be one of the top tier teams? Failed.
Right.
They failed last night. Virginia has that chance tonight to get a win that you can certainly build on, and they can also make a statement to the rest of the league that, hey, don't forget about us, the defending champs. We can still play.
ESPN's Joe Lunardi, by the way, has the Cavaliers, one of his next four out on this week's projection of the NCAA tournament.
That would be important if the tournament started this weekend.
Only six times since 1984-85 when they went to 64 teams. Has the defending champion missed the tournament? The last one?
The last one for the ACC was North Carolina.
And 2009-10, right?
Yeah.
When they went 20-17. Two after that, UConn, 2014-15. Kentucky, who missed the tournament and lost to Robert Morris in Coriopolis, Pennsylvania to celebrate in the opening round of the NIT. Florida, of course, Kansas, and Louisville.
Well, they didn't want to be there.
No, they didn't have any interest.
That league loves using that line.
Virginia, by the way, went to fifth in the AP poll on December 2nd. Cavaliers are averaging 56 points a game, Tupac. Third fewest in the country, on pace to be the lowest scoring team since the ACC formed in 1953.
It's hard to beat people when you know you can't score. That's why the win at Wake Forest Sunday, as goofy as it looked down the stretch, for really on both sides, we talked about almost the inability of either team to be able to do anything offensively. Man, you get those wins and move on, but that is why when you play somebody of note, that effort will not beat Florida State. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I think it's going to be a very interesting night of basketball. Syracuse at Clemson. By the way, do we have a wager? Boys?
Red Hot Josh Macri Orange coming.
Josh, you and Pac got something on the line here tonight? Is there anything available to We got a little show wager going on here. There are the boys, Josh McCray on the left.
But here's the thing.
The great Drew Brooks on the right.
Mr. Packer is a man of much greater means than myself. So, you know, I definitely want it to be fair. Keep in mind, of course, that BPI favors the Clemson Tigers at Little John this evening. So I feel like I should get odds. I don't know.
What's the number in Clark County, Nevada?
You know what? You know, it's funny. We just went through a football season, and when Clemson went up to Syracuse,
you didn't get anything.
I didn't hear any of this.
No, nothing. Right? No, basketball, we're having a little conversation.
All of a sudden, we win five in a row. We're back interested in what Jim Boeheim and the boys are doing. That's right. It's funny how this has worked.
After 2 weeks ago, they were ready to complete rehaul. All right, so wait a second.
Not here to talk about the past, guys.
Hey, what's the BPI? I've heard the BPI. What's the Clark County, Nevada information tonight there, Mr. Brooks?
I'm just guessing it's 1.5. He doesn't know the actual number, but it seems like it should be about 1.5.
So what do you want?
Seems like it should be 1.5.
Since we're still eating bologna sandwiches for the 43rd straight day, what do you want?
I don't know. A libation next time we see each other?
Oh, done. Whatever you want.
Whatever or
you
two.
Want. Whatever you want. I don't care. I mean,
The steak that Greenberg owes you?
That's a whole different deal.
No. That one I had an interest in. This one, it's like, whatever you want.
The Greenberg deal is turning into a ACC network.
Well, what do you need me to do if
content piece?
If Clemson,
well, same thing,
wins.
One ice cube and my bourbon of choice. Fair enough.
Pappy 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
If Clemson wins
that's
the game,
that's a mortgage payment for me.
No. I mean, Woodford Reserve.
Double Oak.
Who should be
double
our
oak.
Sponsor
double
for
oak.
Our Derby show?
Double Oak. Double Oak.
No. I'm not going to double Oak. If Clemson wins the game and I win the bet, I'm not going to double Oak or man. I just a Woodford Reserve, one ice cube.
All right. Nice.
And if Syracuse wins, what do you want?
Will you break out the Dino Hawaiian shirt tomorrow?
Sure. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
If Syracuse wins, I go Dino on you? Sure. No problem.
I think that's fair.
Okay, done.
And give the Cuse helmet prominent positioning in the basement.
Done. That's how easy that is.
And maybe Dino calls in to thank you for your continued support.
Then maybe I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll just make it real fun for you. If Syracuse beats Clemson tonight, we'll put the Syracuse basketball beside our bronze football, right?
Yeah. I like that. And right. One more request. Here are Scotland's terms. Three members of the Syracuse Orange make the revised midseason All-ACC team that will re-rack tomorrow.
No. Well, I'll tell you what. We'd do that only if Elijah Hughes makes the game-winning shot.
Deal.
Right. Golly.
So what happens if Amir makes the game-winning shot for Clemson?
What if there's no? What if the game-winning shot happens at 18:25 in the first half?
No, here's the deal. If Amir Sims makes the game-winning shot, I go double Oak with one cube.
Ooh. Fair. Deal.
Okay, done.
Deal.
I like the way we operate.
I would say if Amir Sims made the game-winning shot, you go Pappy 20.
No.
Then Josh is like sweating the mortgage payment and have to explain to his wife.
I do think that's a close game, though, don't you? Off what? The top of your head?
What?
Clemson, Syracuse? Just feels like it's a close game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely feels close. Feels like a game
it
of...
It feels like the last TV timeout, it's a one-possession, three-point game.
Yes, and it also feels like a game that will feature segments of non-shot-making.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
There's going to be segments of the game you're going to go hard hat.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got to go to break. Tony Haynes is set to join us next. I think first time Tony's been with us on the old TV.
That would be correct.
So he'll join us after a disappointing night for the Wolfpack. In his mind, where is State? How does this affect the Wolfpack? Giving a couple back, losing in Atlanta. Last night's loss to Carolina with Louisville coming to PNC Arena on Saturday. Tony Haynes joins Packer and Durham next on ACC Network, SiriusXM 371.
Jordan Cornette will join us coming up top of the hour.
Yep.
He's at Duke. And Darius Perry is going to join us from Louisville.
Wheeler High School, Atlanta.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's on board about an hour from now. But now we're joined by part of the NC State Radio Network. Tony Haynes joins us. Tony, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I woke up this morning, and the first thing that crossed my mind was, why can't NC State have nice things?
Fuller agrees.
Yeah. Why? Why not? Why not us?
Tony, it's we talked about this the first 15 minutes of the show. And you know, at some point in time, you just got to hold serve, right? You just get opportunities during the year, whether it's football or basketball or baseball, and you just know, man, this is beyond a critical game, up and above the rivalry and so forth. And last night, I thought NC State coming off the Georgia Tech game, which, again, another opportunity, that was it. I mean, it was right there in front of you. And to be honest with you, Tony, watching the game and – I just thought North Carolina outplayed NC State across the board in every facet of the ball game.
Yeah, well, and it's tough too when your leading scorer is shut out in back-to-back games.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of a mystery right now with C.J. Bryce. You know, he's 0 for 11 in these last two. He went 0 for 4 at Georgia Tech. He didn't even take a shot in the second half. You know, he had a couple of those mid-range shots early in the Georgia Tech game on the baseline down in the short corner. He was wide open, and he missed him. And I don't know if he's become tentative or lost confidence, but, you know, he's been incredibly consistent all year. He's the one guy you figure won't go into a slump, but apparently he has. You know, it starts right there. So, yeah, you know, I watched the North Carolina-Miami game, and I thought UNC's body language as a team collectively changed when they started making shots. And it's amazing what that can do for a team. You know, and right now NC State's really struggling in that area, and it affects the rest of their play.
Tony, interesting, too, because as Mark and I talked about, the way they put together the three-game win streak, I mean, Miami, Clemson, and then, what, last Tuesday night at Virginia, it felt like, you know, the weight of the world had come off NC State. And now, and they're not exclusive to this club. We've seen teams take a couple steps forward and then give two back.
Yep.
They're just the latest on the list. And now Kevin Keats has almost kind of got to go back and say, okay, guys, it's okay for us to have some success here and stay positive and not get too down, right?
But if you look at all of those games, they've been similar. It just so happens against Clemson and Virginia, NC State was able to win close, low-scoring games. You know, that game was 60-54. Mm-hmm. State comes back at Virginia, scores only 53, but they win 53-51. You expect games like that against Clemson and Virginia. And then, you know, 58 points at Georgia Tech last night, another low-scoring game for them as they lost 75-65. So all of the games have been similar in that you go into the last couple of minutes and, you know, it's a two- or three-possession game. They've all been winnable, but they've all been losable. And it ultimately has come down to how do you execute at the end of the game. And they've had to reinvent themselves on the fly because they just don't have the numbers to play the type of basketball that I'd like to play, going up and down and pressing and trying to create easy offense with their defense. And the end result is you've seen this team go from, excuse me, averaging 80 points per game at the beginning of the new year to right now, probably over these last four games, I think they're averaging right around 60 points per game. So they've literally become a half-court grinded-out team because they just don't have the ability, due to a shortage of bench players, especially backcourt players on the bench, to press and try to push tempo the way that Coach Keats would prefer.
Tony, in your mind, as they get ready to welcome Louisville on Saturday, they start to turn this around. Who's the most important player in getting it fixed?
Well, I always think Markell Johnson is the most important player on the team. You know, at his best, he's one of the best point guards in the country. But he is inconsistent. But they need to get C.J. Bryce back on track. You know, most of the season, you could expect C.J. Bryce to go out and get you 15 or 16 points. He had been incredibly efficient most of the year. He knows what's a good shot for him. As a result, he was shooting a very high percentage. But he's gone into the swoon the last couple of games. And, you know, they got to get him fixed. But you look at their offensive categories, they're struggling in three major offensive categories compared to their opponents. One, fast break baskets. Nowadays, as I said, they've become a half-court team. They're not getting a lot of easy offense off of their defense. Mm-hmm. Two, three-point shooting. They've really struggled in that area. The last nine games, they're shooting 25% from the arc. And last night they go 4 out of 20. And then free throw shooting. I just looked up the stat, and this is something Coach Keats wanted to turn around this year, but it's trending in the wrong direction. Right now in 10 ACC games, NC State has shot 161 free throws. State's opponents have made 161 free throws. And, of course, they had a 12-point deficit at the foul line last night, and they lost the game by 10.
There you go, Pac. That sounds like index card right
that
there.
That was infamous ACC index card information right there.
West is my mentor when it comes to those types of numbers.
Well, let me tell you, you're spot on, though, with that. And even in ACC play, NC State's attempted 61 fewer free throw attempts than their ACC opponents, and that is a big, big number, especially in a league where you're playing so many close games. I mean, you just got to figure, hey, give me an opportunity to get some free points at the stripe, and we'll figure out a way to win a close game. And, you know, it's amazing, Tony, how the glob, as we've called it, you know, from a week difference. I mean, a week ago, Wes and I were just talking about NC State, beat Clemson, great win on the road at Virginia, getting healthy. Here's C.J. Bryce. You're thinking, man, we're about ready to turn a corner and jump into the upper tier. And then a week later, you're looking around with 18,000 questions with no answers. And, you know, who knows where we are a week from now? It just kind of seems to be the nature of the beast if you're not named Louisville, Florida State, or Duke right down the league.
Yeah, and for the rest of those teams, I think it's ultimately come down who does the best job in close games.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that Virginia game, 53-51. Well, why did State win the game? Well, over the last two or three minutes, they made three tough shots. C.J. Bryce made a very difficult two. Markel Johnson made a contested three. Jericho Helms got an offensive rebound and stuck it back in. I think those were NC State's last three baskets. The Georgia Tech game on Saturday, the game is tied with 44 seconds to play. Mm-hmm. Guess what? It was Georgia Tech who made the plays. They scored the last 6 points of the game. And I just think that NC State, like a lot of these other teams, they're going to be engaged in a lot of games just like that, where it's ultimately come down to how you execute the last minute or two.
Tony, I want to, here in our final couple minutes, I want to ask you a historical question. We've the three of us have all seen this league play out for more years than we care to admit, right? Do you recall a glob, as Pac likes to call it, like the one we're seeing here through the first half of the season of teams? I mean, we'll give Syracuse credit for five straight wins and say that 5-15 is a mess, and nobody seems to be able to sort it out against the other, which is, I think, ultimately going to be a problem.
Yeah, it is amazing parity, and maybe we should have seen it coming because the league lost so many great players from last year. You know, you throw Virginia's now into that mix. You know, they were one of those elite two or three the previous two or three years. All of a sudden, they lose three guys unexpectedly. Tony Bennett said last week, he said, well, you know, he expected this to be his best team. But, you know, those three guys were so good last year, they were that provided them the opportunity to move on and go to the next level. And so, yeah, it's amazing parity. And all of these teams, you know, Syracuse, what's the difference here for them over this five-game winning streak? Those three guys, their main scorers, they're making shots. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know how Coach Boeheim is. He tweaks that zone, and they're figuring out how to defend a little bit better. And not unusual for them to get it going this time of year. But, yeah, it's amazing. I don't remember seeing anything quite like this or so many teams that appear to be dead even at this point.
Well, the team you saw last night in Raleigh is another perfect example, because 2 weeks ago you're watching North Carolina play with no momentum, can't make a shot. You know, everybody talking about Roy stuck on Dean's number, and you're thinking, man, they're going nowhere fast, especially with the schedule ahead of them. And all of a sudden, played hard, played well at Virginia Tech, lost in double overtime.
Yeah.
You know, lights out against Miami. They were terrific last night. You know, again, from week to week, man, if you can put a 2-0 week together, seems like you jump over about four or five teams in this league.
Yeah, and I did a pregame interview with Coach Williams last night, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, when you're not winning as many games as your fans would like, they can't see progress. But he had seen progress over the last 2 weeks. It might be subtle progress. And a lot of that progress you see is during practice. Mm-hmm. You know, they started practicing better. And then you throw in the fact that now the ball starts going in against Miami. And Brandon Robinson started making all those shots. To me, watching the game, I thought their body language changed completely. And they carried that confidence over into the game against NC State. But they got back to being who they were last night. They were just pounding the ball inside. And, you know, Garrison Brooks has turned into a premier post player. At times when NC State had Jericho Helms playing the four at 6'7", you know, they would really go after him, and that was a tough guard for him. And that's why Coach Keats last night was forced to play his two bigs together a little bit more, because it was a tough matchup with Baycott and Garrison Brooks for them.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, thanks for the time as always. See you soon, I hope.
Yep, absolutely. See you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You bet. Tony Haynes, longtime analyst on the NC State Radio Network. From IMG and Learfield, appreciate him spending time with us.
And it's going to be tough, too. I mean, number one, you have a game last night, disappointing loss. Team did not play great. Mm-hmm. You lose to your arch rival, now you got to come on with us. But I thought what he said was spot on.
Yeah, good analysis. Good insight, I thought.
Yep.
Quick reminder, we got basketball for you Saturday here on ACC Network. We got a 6 o'clock start in Chapel Hill. Boston College and, yes, Pac, that is red hot Carolina.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. Couple wins for the Tar Heels. The promo says red hot. Yep. I'd say it too. 6 o'clock Saturday night. Part of a litany of ball games you're going to see here on the network. And of course, always on the ESPN app. In fact, you got Clemson at Wake Forest and others scheduled for Saturday as well. Looking forward to all that right here on ACC Network. And the ESPN app. When we come back, can you believe this? 19 years ago yesterday. Oh.
Is Gary sweating?
The miracle minute at Cole Fieldhouse for the Blue Devils. We'll touch on that when we come back after this on Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
We're in College Park, Maryland. The Terps on top of the Duke Blue Devils with 105 to go in the ballgame. The crowd on their feet. Williams goes down the lane to lay it in. It's an 8-point lead. They need a miracle. There's one. Williams for throw.
It's incredible.
Under 10 seconds to go. Shot clock is off.
Nicholas at the buzzer. And we will go to overtime. Are you kidding?
Oh, this is incredible.
Williams down the lane. Battier wide open for three.
I have no idea what to say. I can't believe that they just came back and made this a game.
Dixon into the lane.
Oh, Battier blocks it.
It's the most remarkable comeback I have ever seen.
The fans at College Park didn't seem too pleased there.
No, they did not. Oh,
they were
man.
Tossing Lido's pizzas from the corners of Cole Fieldhouse.
Lido's. Let's load it up for Reardon's.
What a game that was.
Bentley's. Wasn't that the other place?
Bentley's. Scott Van Pelt.
Bentley's. Get SVP. Hey.
I tell you what, Scott Van Pelt had double fister that night for Scott Van Pelt.
Could you know what? If we'd have been
One in each hand.
If we'd have thought about this, we'd have gotten Van Pelt to come in and jump on a camera and show that.
That was crazy.
Did he run that on his show last night? By the way, since it was the 19th anniversary of the Miracle Minute.
We've seen some beauts, man.
God.
I tell you what, though, just watching that highlight, it made me miss Cole Fieldhouse even more.
It's always good to see Taj Holden video, too.
But that place was one of my favorite arenas in all the country.
Loved it. By the way, look at this. Battier. It's always good to see Matt Christensen bench pictures. Never forget Matt Christensen on the bench. There's Duhon. Jay Williams was loaded. Look at Booze getting a block out.
Told you, I used to have an office at Cole Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
I loved it, man. I would open up the door to my office, and you'd hear people bouncing on the basket. Yeah. It was just a legendary old-school barn, and you'd walk out the front door, nothing fancy, and you'd sit there and just sit on the rail and just watch what was going on.
Can we roll some of that video again? Can I see some of that? Bench of Dunleavy's on that team. Matt Christensen's on that team. Duhon. There's Boozer.
You tell me that
freshman with nothing but net set. Terrence Morris, Lonnie Baxter, Steve Blake, Juan Dixon, Drew Nicholas. You see late in the video. This is a pretty good game now. I mean, all the way through. Oh, Nate James, young Nate James. So, look at it. I mean, think about how many games got won by those two teams in a four-year stretch, right? Because that team right there, for the most part, is the team that Maryland's team would also go on and win the national championship.
Yeah, there was also, if you remember, at that point in time, there was also a stretch where I thought this game was the ACC's best rivalry.
Yeah.
No doubt. Because
no
North Carolina had slipped at that point in time in terms of their stature, going through the transition and everything else. And the Duke-Maryland games had unbelievable intensity. I mean, it didn't matter.
Right. Like
Gary would come rolling into Cameron and Gary Sweat chant started and all that craziness. Those two put on – those are just two heavyweights that just went after each other.
Right.
I thought that became the best rivalry in the ACC for a short period of time.
I don't doubt. No question. And there were great games. And, by the way, some of this stuff carried over to other meetings, including ACC final at the Georgia Dome one year where Juan Dixon rims out a shot. Yeah. I mean, it's just – it's amazing how good Duke Maryland was in a 5-6 year period. And it was fun to watch Gary and Kay, too.
No, I mean, great coaches.
Yep.
Needless to say. I mean, that's what this league's been all about, man.
Yep.
For a long, long time, for multiple decades. Great coaches, great teams, great moments.
By the way, if you want to rank them now, ACC comebacks, final minute in history, Duke's involved in both of them. One win, one loss. 8:17 seconds at Chapel Hill. Is the other one, the 10 down at Maryland with under a minute to go. Largest comebacks in the final minute. There you go.
Well, I mean, those two right there are, I mean, 100 years from now when they're doing the latest version of Packer and Durham from some other dude's basement, they will look back at those
on an
two
iPhone.
Games. Yeah, they will be looking back at those two games going, man, let me take it back 100 and some odd years ago. Those two games right there.
Right.
Right. It's just the way it is. You want to take some calls here?
Sure, take a call. Let's go.
We go to John. I believe John in North Carolina has been holding patiently. John, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Outstanding.
Okay. I've been talking about how State is, and I'm a State fan, but I believe we've got the curse of Alvano. We're probably going to have to survive it as long as Boston did, but it seems like whenever we feel good, we get pulled out from under other things, and I think it's the Valvano curse. And it happens baseball, basketball, football.
Huh.
All right. I'll be honest with you. I thought every NC State conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I've never heard of the curse of Valvano.
I've heard that.
Have you?
No, sir. Can you tell me how that germinated, John? Oh, he's gone. Curse of Alvano?
I'm just going to assume that maybe all the
83 national championship?
Maybe all the good fortune
of the 83?
Were loaded up into a fateful run to win a national championship, and from that point forward, NC State's not allowed to have nice things? Is that how that works? I don't know.
I will have to have more on that.
That's the first I've ever heard of that one.
We'll have
That's
to
why
have
I wrote it down.
That.
I've never heard of the curse of Alvano as the reason
don't
for
you think
NC
we
State.
Need a little more on that?
Yeah, like I told you, I've never heard of that one before. No, you are allowed to win.
How does that explain the 79 ACC football deal? That was before.
Well, you said since Valvano.
Okay, but. Okay.
All right. State won it in 79. That was before Valvano.
Right, yeah.
So it has to be after Valvano.
I understand that.
So 79 would be a non-factor.
But the inequities since then are all Jim Valvano's fault, too?
Apparently. The curse of Valvano. That's what we have not. If I knew that, I could have answered it for the last 20 years doing radio and TV. I did not know about that. Did not know that existed. I don't believe in curses, by the way.
I don't either.
I believe in making free throws down the stretch. That's what I believe in. I believe in making some shots when it matters. I believe that when your best scorer goes 0-for from the field, I don't like your chances. That's what I believe in. I don't believe in curses or a jinx. I believe that really good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find ways to lose. There are great coaches and there are good coaches. That's what I believe in. Sounds like a Bull Durham skit.
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's everything in this. See, this is we're getting to the part of the year now where the weirdness is going to start. You know that, right?
Start.
It's going to really start. The weirdness. The ACC basketball weirdness.
Hey, man, welcome to the glob.
Yeah. Just nobody's, hop on in. Nobody's immune to the glob.
There's three teams that are immune to the glob.
Yeah.
Louisville, Duke,
Florida
State.
Everybody else.
Immune to the glob.
Globbing it up.
Everybody else, hey, still, 1 week you're good. The next week looks like you're in a bad rec league.
I think we're still waiting on our graphics, too, aren't we, for the glob?
By the way, a gentleman sent us a great email this morning. Great idea for an email.
He did?
Yeah. Well, it was a great idea for us on email.
Okay. You better hurry. We got Jordan Cornett at 9.
We got plenty of time. Fuller, let me help my dog first.
Steve great. Chester.
There we go. Did you get your ball, Fuller? There we go.
No. Jeez. That's the curse of Elvana right there. All right.
What are we doing?
Here's what this guy wrote in.
What are we doing?
Tom Parker. I want to give him all the credit because if we end up stealing this idea, you heard it from Tom Parker first. Tom says, Pack, you guys need to borrow from ABC's Wide World of Sports. Spanning the glob.
I like that idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I like that idea a lot.
Spanning the glob. So we're going to let Josh and Drew and Chrissy and all the smart people at ESPN see if we can't pull that off.
There you go.
Not spanning the globe, spanning the globe.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, we've got three tennis balls here.
Yep, they're all Fullers.
It's a full pitch and catch.
Yep. Well, that's why
Jordan Cornett standing by in Durham. We're going to go live to Blue Devil Cam, talk to Notre Dame's all-time leading shot blocker. Maybe ask him about Mike Bray, who offered us a great quote yesterday, by the way, on the ACC teleconference. We'll talk about Duke and Pittsburgh tonight. Jordan's got that call with Mike Cousins at 9 o'clock on ESPN. Power Hour coming up next, Packer and Durham.